You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
What's up, world? How you doing? We're back. Spartan Dog Radio. I'm Todd Duckett.
Andre Hudson.
Timbo Gracchus.
We're just talking now. We're just sharing a little bit of our lives, sharing a little bit of things that we've experienced and want to share them with the world. And eventually, we'll start having guests. But right now, we want you to get to know us, and we want you to understand who we are. Well, let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
You know, over this past week, I just been thinking a lot about the word passion. And I've been thinking a lot about what is my passion. And I had an idea what my passion was for the first 29 years, was able to maximize it. Now we've been speaking a lot about going into business and a lot about different ventures, avenues that we're in now. And for passion to be the backbone, the heartbeat of everything, I'm curious to hear what was your guys' passion. Was it football originally or basketball originally? What was it? And as we go around the table, I figure we chime in, we share a little bit about each of our passions, and have they changed? Is it okay to change your passion? What has happened to your passion? What happens when you lose your passion? Just kind of start this conversation, because as we all know, sports has been a huge part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And sports is passion driven. We don't play sports anymore. So how have we found our new passion? And for listeners, your passion may be your business. It may be your family. It may be a loved one. And has that business moved on? Has that loved one moved out? Kind of list, maybe we can shine some light on just some ways we are coping and we are building our passion. So thoughts,
I would say, going back to, if we're going back.
Yeah, let's go back.
My initial passion when I was a little kid was WWF wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
I love WWF wrestling.
That's what I'm
wrestling.
Talking about. Let's go back.
I grew up going to the matches when they were being in Flint, watching it on television. Actually wrestling people in my basement. Mm-hmm. If you came downstairs, the bell was ringing. It was go time. I was huge. Championship belts.
Yeah.
Styling and profiling.
Flying off
the turnbuckle.
Yeah, off the turnbuckle.
That's what was my, but, you know, I think that kind of, that just was almost like another way of competing to me.
But what'd you love about that?
Man, I loved it all. I think I loved the physicality of it.
Yeah.
I loved the personalities. I don't know. It got me. It caught me early. I got hit with the WWF bug.
Yeah.
Like a lot of kids. No.
I used to
Hulk Hogan.
Man, I used to
ripping
love,
his shirt off.
That's what, yeah. I love.
Like,
I love
listening
the
to the crowd.
Gamemanship,
yeah.
Right. The,
I mean,
showmanship.
You had the good guys, you had the bad guys.
Exactly.
You had the theme music, you had We Love to Hate You.
Mm-hmm.
You, yeah, know, I think that
seeing the crowd get excited,
yeah,
you know, and thriving off that energy that they brought. I agree,
I mean,
man.
That's probably one of the first times I remember you feeling the energy of a crowd.
Yeah.
And how it made you feel. And the hair on the back of your neck standing up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it pretty close to a collegiate game, playing, running right out of the Breslin, and feeling and hearing the band playing and see the crowd stand up, and you have the same feeling.
Wow.
So for me, that WWF wrestling was an early passion of mine. Mm. But I think it's all competition. Like, I was playing every sport, but I just love to compete at everything.
Wow.
But, man, I just
That's
remember, you know, getting down on Saturday mornings.
That's good.
Do you think even that the, because I mean, we would do the same thing, have slumber parties, all my homeboys,
yeah,
jumping off the couch.
Yeah.
We'd have our theme. Do you think that as we got older, we started looking at sports? Let's move into sports, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that whole pageantry, that whole allure, that whole aura of that, we connected the dots? You see what I'm saying? Like, did we all of a sudden start to, as we started to grow into our sport, we had to create ourselves now.
Right.
And, definitely.
And as we create ourselves, because I never watched professional sports. I watched wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember my dad and I sitting on the couch and just, we watched wrestling.
Yeah.
And as that went, it took me until, really, until my fifth year in the league to realize after you get a first down, signal first down.
Right, yeah.
After you do score, do something. And the crowd got excited from the play, but they got crazy from what I did after.
Right.
But I never connected those two dots. Is that, you think that has something to do with it a little bit?
I think so. I think wrestling in general has had a huge effect on sports as a whole. I mean, there was so much showmanship, so much, you know, entertainment in that arena. And I think if you look across sports in the last 10 to 15 years, they've kind of taken a lot of what wrestling had to offer back then. Yeah. You know, that you know, the names and the dances and the entourages that they used to come out there with. I mean, you see a lot of that in professional sports today, even in college sports. In high school, I mean, at all levels, you see it now. Yeah. It's just part of the game.
I also think you learn that you almost develop your personality within to the crowd. And then, to me, it's good and bad because after a certain point, then they really start expecting something. Like if Ocho Cinco scored a touchdown and he didn't have a fake Hall of Fame jacket after a while, like the crowd would be like, what is he, like, what happened?
What's up?
Like if he turned into Barry Sanders all of a sudden and just tossed the ball, he's a bum to everybody now. But if he's river dancing, everybody's like, yes.
Now, how do you think that is, this may be a tricky question, but do you think that now is passion driven still, or do you think that's more focus on me type?
I think it's more just them trying to market themselves. I mean, if you look at it, these guys who are entertaining, who people like to watch and look forward to seeing them do stuff, they're marketable, and companies go after them, and they want to pay them money. You know, so I think a lot of it is money-driven. You know, people want to find a way to make their status or to build their own brand, you know, for sure. And I think that's what ties in with it. You know, people want to make more money. Sometimes you got to put yourself out there and be entertaining.
It's a gift and a curse.
Yeah.
Because after a while, you can't tell me he didn't want to just, like, when he goes out somewhere, he doesn't want to have to be, he's a character. Like, he's Ocho Cinco. He's not Chad Johnson anymore.
Okay. Well, tell me this.
Dennis Rodman wore a wedding dress to a book signing. You can't tell me he actually wants to do stuff like that all the time.
So tell me this then. The question first initiated was, where did you find your passion at first?
Yes.
Now, everything you just said, now let's fast forward high school, college, and now you're playing your passion. How were you able to show that? How were you able to take all that we just talked about and put it in? Like before, like I said, I saw guys doing it when I was playing, but I a lot of times I was like, man, that's a little bit of cockiness going on. That's a little bit of arrogance going on. But now looking back at how I grew up and what I looked at, that's what we loved. We loved that.
Right.
So was there a time that you did experience that in college? And to kind of fast forward the question later will be, how can we do that now in our entrepreneurial lives?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's kind of leading into that question, but did you maximize that passion, that not just in the game, but that whole bringing people in? Did you max? And if you didn't, maybe why? And if that, like I said, let's figure out how we can maybe do it in the next session, the next game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting question, man. I think, you know, it's different on different levels, man, especially in the collegiate level. There's so many restrictions on to how you can celebrate and, you know, I think even under the college, you know, high school and at a junior high level, there's so much emphasis on being a good winner, or not a sore winner, being respectful to your opponents, not, you know, kind of overshadowing them with your celebration and your gimmick. So in a way, society kind of limits us to, you know, being professional at an early age. Once you get to the pro ranks and you're making a lot of money, things are a little bit more freer. And the companies, I mean, to be honest, they want you to do that
because
it brings them money.
Yeah.
At a younger age, it's not so much the case. And, you know, I think it takes away from a lot of guys. There's a lot of kids who play off emotion.
Yeah.
And they play better when they're more emotional. They're outspoken. And you see sometimes coaches, refs, you know, whoever it might be, holding them back for what, from allowing them to express themselves in the way that they're accustomed to. So for me, you know, I got my passion. I was able to release my excitement and joy just through the game. You know, just making a basket and hearing that the crowd erupt or come to their feet was enough joy for me where I didn't have to yell and just, you know, let it all out. I just felt it. You know, it was just in me, and it felt good. You know, it felt good to make a basket or to get a big rebound or to get a good stop and just hear the arena erupt. That was enough for me to, you know, I didn't have much showmanship, but it felt good to me.
Right.
I think collegiately, you don't have to be a complete showman for the fans to connect to your passion. They can kind of see it, like Dre said, through your play. Like, they can tell when you're excited, but you don't have to scream up and down the court. Or they can tell when you're really playing with everything you got. They can see that. I mean, and they feed off it. And I think that's what's easier about college than the pros. It's easier to connect almost personally with fans than it is. I would guess. I mean, I'm speaking. I wouldn't know about, you know, on an NFL or NBA sure. level, but I feel like it's easier to connect personally with the fans at the collegiate level because they still look at you as, you know, these are kids playing a kid's game.
Yeah.
And having fun doing it.
Yeah. To add to that other thing too, the fans generally know or have a deep connection with all the players on that team. Whereas in the professional ranks, I mean, there's stars on each team, and those stars are kind of the faces for that sure. team or for those fans, and so it's easy for those stars to connect with the fans, but say that fourth, fifth, sixth man down the line, you know, it might be a little different. Whereas in college, you know, they're real supportive of a team, of the team atmosphere, and they kind of push that a little bit more. So I agree with you saying
and,
on that.
And you had mentioned something a second ago where it the player or the coaches or the refs may be holding the people back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at a lot of those players who – just lose it. I mean, they absolutely lose their mind in a game situation. And when I start to see that, it's like having skin in the game because if you're going to speak it, you better back it up.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So a lot of times, me included, there were times where I might not say something because now I'm putting extra attention on me.
Right.
Extra just focus on me. But if that's what you do, that's what it's about.
That's what you're supposed to
do. I mean, and that's where it takes – and like you said, and when you said that, it really hit me because it did probably take away from some things because we talked about failure before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about certain things. And a lot of this, I mean, I'm learning now. I mean, you have fans who they'll – tell you we're the best team in the world and this and that and we're going to kick everybody's butt and this and they go out and lose.
Yeah.
But come the next week, we're the best team in the world and they're right back at it. Yeah, after the game, they don't say anything.
Right.
But to see the fans who, man, they love these teams and they are giving you everything and we're number one, that guy sucks, whatever it is. And then, you know, let's just say they don't go out and live up to it or play up to it, they're quiet for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
But that next week, man, give them half hour before tip-off, for kickoff. We're the best team.
Right.
And is it for whatever reason, they're able to disconnect and reconnect. And now when we win, you hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
But for a player to understand that too, I think that adds a whole different element. I mean, now you're coming out without being boastful. I mean, and again, there's a fine line between that, I think. But without being boastful, but being confident with the fans and saying, this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we're going to do it. We worked hard to do that. Now take that same conversation and what's the difference between a media ad for your business saying, hey, we're the best this, we're the best that. What's the difference? There is none, in my opinion. And for a business to do that, you may have an employee or not an employee, but a customer, client, come to your business and be like, man, that food wasn't, why are they saying they're the best in the city?
Right.
They ain't the best in the city.
Not the best.
But that's what they do. That's what they put in. And one person walks in, says it's great. The other person walks in and says it's horrible. But they're focused on their product.
Right.
Yeah, but nobody's going to come out and say our food is the third best.
This is
the third best burger in mid-Michigan.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they have the best food. Everybody thinks they're going to win a game.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not going anywhere if they say our food really sucks, but it's a great place to come hang out.
Yeah.
No, what are you talking about?
Well, I think that's important once you step into that professional career. I mean, you have to be able to self-promote yourself, whether it's yourself or your business, and you see it in athletics and you see it in business as well. Well, again, when we talked about you know, kids in the college field or the younger level, it's not, it's kind of frowned upon to self-promote yourself. You know, it's more of a team type of atmosphere, team aspect, and I think that's an adjustment that a lot of people have to make once they step into the professional field, whether it's, you know, even just a regular student graduating from college applying for a job. You have to be able to self-promote yourself and let these people know that, you know, business.
Do you think it's easier? With the vehicles that we have media-wise nowadays, do you think it's easier to self-promote yourself? I mean, I can go on Twitter all day and talk about how great I am. I can put videos up on YouTube all day talking about how great I am.
And really, that translates into the passion, because you can say that all day, but if the passion is not in it, it's just another video going up.
Yeah.
And people can understand that. They can feel that. They can see that. I think there are a lot of tools there, but I mean, for the longest time we did our job and we didn't get a dollar for it, mm-hmm. and we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are now having whatever your profession is, if you love it, there's a good chance you might not be making that type of money, mm-hmm. but you're still doing it and you love it. And now you hang out with guys who have similar interests, and mm-hmm. it's just like, wow, we can do these type of things.
Right, mm-hmm. It's enjoyable.
Listening to Todd Duckett,
Timbo Grackus,
Andre Hudson,
Spartan Dog Podcast. But now, like you just talked about, how did you approach it? You know what I'm saying? So now we laid out the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how either did you approach it, or how do we approach it this point forward? And what's our mission, our goal, I guess? And a lot of this is us talking and sharing some personal insight information. Yeah. But how do you now wake up in the morning and, first of all, you've discovered a new passion, which we can talk about our businesses if we want, or just family, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But now how do you wake up and get that same fire brewing, just like you would to go into the Breslin, or just like you would to go to your high school?
Yeah.
But now,
I think a lot of it is going back to where we started off this whole podcast is the beginning. You know, mm-hmm. what was your initial passion? For me, you made me think, it was hard to kind of think back, what did I love at an early age? And I remember watching the Lakers versus Celtics, watching Magic versus mm-hmm. Bird on CBS, or, you know, watching just games I just love. Like, oh, man, and seeing the excitement that, you know, my family members had about it, or people around town were talking about, oh, you see Magic drop, you know, mm-hmm. 15 dimes last night. It was like, oh, man, yeah, he watched that too. You know, I can remember watching it, but I knew like 10 other people watched it too. And I was like, you know what, this is pretty interesting. But one thing that kind of helped me remember what I kind of thought as a young kid, I had an article that was done on me as a senior at Michigan State. And it was the year I was about to graduate, and they did a kind of a story on me and my family growing up in Trotwood, Ohio. And they went and spoke to my mother back home, and she had a goal sheet that I had written when I was 6 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, she had kept it. And I don't remember all of them, but there was like five. One was I wanted to be – the first one on my list is I wanted to be a good father. You know, I grew up with my mother, my grandmother, my father was around a little bit, but not much. And so it was important to me to be a good father, a good family man. The other thing I had on the list is I wanted to be the best basketball player in the state of Ohio. And I wanted to be a professional basketball player, and I wanted to be a businessman. These were goals that I written.
Was the fifth you wanted to play with me?
I don't know if that was on there. I was checking my mom on that.
But,
wow. Just checking.
But that article, you know, as a senior in college, it brought back some memories like, oh, man, this is what I thought when I was 6 years old. You know what I mean? And when I read it, I got to thinking, like, you know what? I'm still right there. You know, still, you know, I was player of the year in the state of Ohio, so I accomplished that goal. I was on my way to play professional basketball, which was something I wanted to do. And I still had the mindset of owning my business at some point. So it was something that, you know, even though I was six, and to be honest, I forgot about it. I didn't even know that existed. My mom had kept it.
Dang.
But it was something that started as a young kid. And you talk about now, you know, how do you follow your passion as a professional? Well, you know, sometimes you got to look back if you can't remember. I mean, we talked about it before. Where did you come from? How did you grow up? What are you about? You know, what are your likes? Yeah. What is your foundation built on?
And those aren't cliches.
No, it's real stuff, man. It's real stuff. And it's crazy that at 6 years old, I can say those things. And to be honest, I probably accomplished 80% of that stuff. I mean, I love my family. I love being around my kids. It's crazy, man. But
that's the beauty. And the beauty of it is to have those goals at that age.
Yeah.
And then to look back at what you accomplished.
Right.
I mean.
Well, sometimes, I mean, I think a lot of us set goals, but a lot of people forget.
That's my, man.
You know, you forget.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. We're going to keep y'all hungry. We're going to end on that, Andre.
You're going to end on that?
We're going to end on that, man. Hey, I mean, because it goes, I mean, goal setting, going back to who you are, going back to what it is you do, that's where you find your passion. Amongst all the clutter that life presents, amongst the fame, the fortune, the people, the knowledge that you obtain, go back to why you even started your whole journey in the first place.
Exactly.
And maybe along those same trips, yeah, you did achieve this and achieve that. And then when you achieve something, you instantly took a right turn for whatever reason that was. Maybe you forgot, whatever. So I think that's a great point for our listeners to think, and we'll come back and we'll touch on it on the next podcasts.
We'll do it again.
Timbo!
In the house.
Hey, Dre!
Can't wait to be back.
Duck D's, Ty Duckett, thank you.
We're out.
Hey, peace. Go green.
Go white.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
And you're listening to Spartan Dogs, Andre Hudson, Todd T.J. Duckett, and Timbo Gracchus talking about lessons learned as Spartan athletes.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. We'll have more in a moment.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to 500,000 Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome to Spartan Dog Radio. I'm Timbo Gracchus. I'm joined today with my boys,
Todd Duckett,
Dre Hudson.
We're back for another podcast. We'll jump right into it.
Yeah. And this next one, I would like to start topics about legacy and talk about the legacy and talk about, for you, Andre, if you listened last time, and maybe you can refresh some of the listeners, but your mom found your goal list at 6.
Yeah.
And maybe just, yeah, give us like a minute, just kind of refresh. And
it was funny, man. I had an article done up on me, and she in this article, she found this goal sheet of mine that had like 5 or 6 goals that, I mean, were right on track. I was 21, about to graduate from college, and I mean, it was like I wrote it yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, it was crazy how accurate and how much, you know, how easily I was able to follow my passions over the course of my childhood all the way through my college career. And you know, it's amazing, man. Setting goals is such a powerful tool to be successful in life. Such a powerful tool.
But now,
I mean,
go ahead.
Setting goals is a powerful tool, but actually following through on them. Setting goals is the easy part. Yeah. Following through on them is the powerful part.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what now, talking about that, with those two backstories, the point of with the legacy is about knowing where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, what really hit me and it really touched me, was the fact that it's hard for me to go back and find my own history. Mm-hmm. And with my mother not being around, maybe I did create a goal list.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I did have these type of thoughts. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. But all that to say is now I'm starting my history. And as we have these conversations, we are all building. You all are helping me build my family history. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't look back and be like, oh, poor me and this, that. Nah, yeah, I understand it. But we can start now. We can start to build our legacy now. So the beauty about this, what we're doing now, is this is recorded history. These conversations, no matter what happens to us in our lives, these conversations are going to be recorded history for our families. Your kid's going to hear you. Grandma at 6 years old kept this. Grandma did that.
Right.
I mean, and stuff like that, I think a lot of times, especially from an athletic standpoint, people look at numbers. Mm-hmm. And they look at us as just, he'll be there for 3-4 years, throw him away. He's a bum now.
Yeah.
And there are, that's not the truth.
Yeah.
And we have set and we have made goals and we have achieved goals, but we also have got caught up in clutter that has got us distracted, yeah. Whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of want to just, let's kind of talk about that a little bit and like what right now, let's just say we have new goals now.
Yeah.
We're creating a new legacy. And the 21-year-old that read it before is now however old you are now,
yeah.
And creating the new goal for the young ones that you have.
Yeah, yeah. It's when you speak on legacy, it's a lot of it is about family and it's mm-hmm. about your family values. And I see, you know, it touches you a lot when you go back to your childhood and think, you know, maybe there's some things missing because, you know.
You just don't know.
You just don't know, you know. And now, and I think this day and age, man, I mean, the people that are successful, they do care about their legacy.
Yes.
And they teach their kids and they train their kids to act a certain way. In my opinion, it's kind of unfortunate, but a lot of inner city homes, There's no importance on legacy.
Yes.
You know, they don't teach the foundation to their kids that, you know, you need to act this way so when they're older, they can teach their kids that. You know what I mean? You don't see that so much. You see it in successful families. You see it in successful businesses. But in a lot of cases, you don't see that in a lot
not
of homes.
Enough.
And it's unfortunate. And it's never too late.
That's
it's never too late to start a legacy. But if you haven't been taught at an early age, which a lot of you find this in a lot of homes, it's hard as an adult to begin to work on your legs because you don't know how to start. Well, you don't even know where your beginning is from.
Yeah.
You have no history.
You get so caught up in short-term goals.
Yes.
Everybody mm-hmm. wants a short-term goal of this and that. I got this. I bought that. You yeah. forget to think about what's coming 10 years from now.
Exactly.
And, you know, in college, I mean, I think we're all guilty of just focusing on a short-term goal.
Sure.
Of,
who
all right,
everybody.
What, next game, you know,
next
I played,
party,
I
next
played
test.
Good in this yeah. game, so the next party, next test, you know, I never thought of myself as a 30-year-old when I was 18.
Right.
You 100%. Know what I mean? I mean,
well,
I never.
At least you viewed it differently.
Yeah, yeah. I never.
At 30,
I,
this is what I'm really going to yeah, be doing. Like,
I never thought. My view of myself at 30 is way different than it yeah. actually is right now. I'm supposed to be on like a jet somewhere.
Yeah. rolling in dough. Yeah.
I'm supposed to be counting 20s right now and throwing them away for yeah. the hundreds. That's what my view was. But, I mean, you know what? It's the. Well, you know, you got to. It's hard, though. That's
it
the
is.
Hardest part. I like, legacy wise. I never thought about it because I never thought about anything outside of athletics.
Sure.
Within Michigan State, because that's the memory and how so many people think about us and we think of ourselves. You know,
yeah.
We're athletes.
It's
that's,
not. It's not. It's kind I mean, of programmed that way.
So I've never had the thought until the last year of what I want the next part of my legacy to be of.
And the thing is, with that word, it's that word. It's such a big, strong, heavy word. I mean, legacy is chapters. I mean, you write one book. Okay, that's the first part of the book. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Now it's the second chapter, second story, second book. And, like, I mean, we're all in our 30s right now. God willing, give us 30 more. Can we look back and say, look at chapter one and chapter two?
Yeah.
And now, how has that tied into our legacies? And a lot of it doesn't, like you said, we're so, especially with the social media age. I mean, you post something today, and in 5 hours, it's late.
Yeah.
And that, you look at the younger, you just look at people, and I hate to say always younger generation, look at people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You look at people, and you forget what someone even said a month ago.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what people said yesterday.
No, but that at the same time, that also, just because you forget doesn't mean there's not a consequence for it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that there's not a reward to be reaped from it either.
Right.
So being able to have a plan, mm-hmm. being able to follow your plan and make it come to fruition,
mm-hmm.
be able to do those things, to me, that's important.
Yeah.
It's not how quick can I get out and do the next thing.
Yeah.
It's hold on, let me take my time and make this thing right.
Yeah, I think another, going back to, you know, the short-term focus of, I think, you know, it happens to all of us. We, you know, you see somebody who comes straight out of college into their first job and they're making this much money, they're driving this kind of car, they're doing really well, and we automatically become haters.
Yeah.
Most people. I mean, it's the you know, we want everybody grouped into the middle with us.
Right.
You know, that's
kinda
as a
human
society.
Nature, yeah.
We don't want somebody doing better than we are. We've gotten to a point where we stop celebrating excellence in certain areas and we focus more on trying to pull them back to the group who's just mediocre in a lot of things.
But you know, that being said, and I'm gonna brag on us a little bit. We're not the average mediocre people.
So, I think I'm pretty sweet.
Exactly. But I say that because when we're in our pre passions, what I'm going to call it,
yeah.
because now we're about to get into our true passion here.
Yeah.
But when we're in our pre-passion, no, we didn't care what anybody thought. We didn't care. I didn't care if that guy had a bunch of yards and we played him Friday. They got to see us this week now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when you guys were in the weight room lifting, I don't care what y'all team are doing. This is what we're doing no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't care what your stadium's yelling right now because we're about to shut everybody up.
Right.
And like you said, as you start to do things, maybe, and I'm going to ask a question, is it an uncertainty of your passion which forces you to look around and see what people are doing? Because when they say you're running a race, don't look back. But if you're not sure you're heading in the right direction, you might be like, where y'all going? What y'all doing?
Right.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you look at what you term successful people and you think this is how they act. This is how I need to act.
Mm.
So you almost lose sight of yourself.
Yes.
And how you really need to be because that's how everybody else is acting.
Yeah, that's good.
So I feel like, oh, this person is the, you know, CEO of a company. They're doing this or acting this way. That's got to be the right way to do things.
And
I think I agree with that statement. I think we all have that thirst for knowledge and to gain. You know, we all want to gain. And sometimes when we are successful at what we're doing, you know, there's never the top. You're never going to reach the top, and so you're always looking for better. So when you do get that success, now you're looking at the next step. Okay, well, yeah, like you say, that CEO over there, maybe, what is he doing that I'm not doing that I can get to that level? And sometimes it takes away from what you really want to do, because now you're imitating somebody else that might not have the same passion that you had. They might have similar interests, but you never know what their agenda is, man.
Yeah.
Everybody has different agendas.
Everybody has an agenda.
Everybody has one, and they're all different.
And by saying that too, you're looking at this CEO, and you're like, hear what I'm saying. You're looking at this CEO at what he or she is doing. They've done a lot to achieve that position, and you're looking at the CEO saying, "Oh, I'm gonna act just like that."
Yeah.
Hold on. There was a time when this guy was not no CEO.
Right.
When this lady was at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
And instead of going again, let's do our research and see how they get started.
Well, I think like let's put it like this: if you're 18, 19 years old, and you walk into a boardroom, and you're around a table with a bunch of people in suits, you automatically assume these guys are smarter than me. They're at a certain, they're older than I am. They have more knowledge about all these subjects. I just need to kind of, you know, step back and let them handle this. I'm not at the same level as they are. When in fact, you might be just as, you're just as smart as something else than they are. But you know, we don't focus on it like that. We just think, you know, we see a guy in a suit, we automatically think he's a success. And we have to be like, we have to be just like him.
And even to the point where, and I'm sure y'all can relate, but you go to the park and it's playing pickup basketball.
Yeah.
I got next. Okay, I'm going to pick you, you. I mean, you may have a 15-year-old on your team. You may have a 45-year-old on your team. I'm picking you, and we're going to go ahead and run these guys next hour, 2 hours.
Right.
So, and I'll say this because, like you just said, if you're that 15-year-old, you know you got game. And is it because now we're on a level playing field and I'm aware that I'm on a level playing field? I'm aware that, I mean, that basket's 10 feet. This line is this line on my court, on your court, whatever. And I guess the question or whatever it is, it's the question is, do you think that for the success of, I guess, a person who's new to an area, success comes from having confidence in the basic skills.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Just using basketball, for example, that rim isn't going to change. The court's that long.
Yeah.
But if you walk out there and you don't even, man, how tall is that rim? Or Then you start to have some issues. Now you instantly look at somebody else who's playing the game and say, okay, this is how he shoots. Right. I'm going to shoot like him.
Right.
And you aren't looking at it even the goal anymore. You're looking at it. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's like, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But it gets like, basketball-wise, we use basketball and then like a business meeting.
Yeah.
You go into both of those. Like if I'm working out, and like you said, everything's the same as another guy. Like, we have access to the same, basically, information of basketball. A basketball, a hoop, the same size court. We can do the same things. You go into work, we have, nowadays, we have access to the same information to build that base of knowledge of whatever subject it is. I have, you know, there's the library, the internet. So, it's on you to really put in that work to develop those skills, to develop your mind or learn into certain subjects. So like, it's my fault if, as an athlete, it's my fault if I can't dribble with my left hand well enough. It's no one else can dribble with my left hand but me. And it's my fault, like, if I went to class and I didn't study, no one studied the information for me.
Yes.
So it's just translating from, in sport, taking that ownership of, I got to build, like you said, the basics, the fundamentals. And then when I start working, I got to take ownership and build the basics and fundamentals.
Yeah, that ties in, I think, to this topic that we're talking about, and that's your legacy, leaving your legacy. And the thing that, you know, I have a question with is, you know, this. I mean, we're talking about different things. I mean, you know, do you look at role models and try to mimic them, or do you stick to your passion? I mean, there's a lot that goes into it when you're looking at building your own legacy. And we've kind of thrown several different things around. I don't think there's one correct way to do it. You know, there's different ways. If you look at successful people, they've done it in, you know, multi different ways. There's all kind of ways to do it. But I think there are a lot of ways that diminish your legacy that we don't talk about.
That's a good point.
And you mentioned about the social media, how you can leave a post and you forget about it in a month. But there are some posts that you don't forget about. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things you do in your life that people just don't forget. And I think, you know, a lot of people aren't taught that at an early enough age that, look, you have to carry yourself in a certain way, man, or it can come back to get you down the road. Like you say, it can affect you in a bad way, or it can reward you in a good way.
Yeah.
But it all plays in a part of your legacy. And, you know, my question is just, you know, is there any advice that you would give to somebody as far as to you know, having a great legacy? You know, what are the things you need to do in your life to keep a good name amongst people and not diminish, especially in this day and age when social media is so prevalent in our lives? You know, people are posting things right away, not even thinking about the after effects. I mean, you see college kids who are, you know, belong to major universities that are posting Twitter pics that they have no idea the implications that it, you know, how it's affecting them, their families, the universities.
Yeah.
They don't know, and it affects their legacy at the end of the day. I mean, what suggestions or what have you seen out there to just just throws you like, I can't believe.
And this is, you're listening to Spartan Dog Podcast Radio. I'm Todd Duckett.
Timbo Grackus.
Andre Hudson.
And yeah, you're right. And, you know, let's talk about that. I think we all are fairly new at our new passionate to propel our legacy further.
Yeah.
And what I would do when I was younger is I would look at playing – for football, I would look at football players, mm-hmm. and I would take little samples from each of them. I mean, this guy did this, this guy did that. I just need a little bit of that to work that into my team.
Right.
I need a little of that to work that into my game. So now I'm looking at successful business owners, mm-hmm. successful people in the company or in the community, in the country, in the world, and I'm not trying to emulate them,
right?
But there's a piece of that game that I really like.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll take, you know what? Let me add that to my game a little bit. Where are you? You know what? You're super successful. Let me study. You know what? There's a commonality. I might have to add that. And I think a part of that is as a kid, man, we're 5, 4, 3, shot Jordan.
Right.
But yeah. You know, but now as adults and men. Is it okay to emulate another adult?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to pretend to be another adult?
Yeah.
Not in a sense of I'm him, mm-hmm. but again, as a kid, we put ourselves in those scenarios.
Yeah, but I think it's easier as a kid too, especially in the sports field because you see them; they're so visible to you.
Yes,
but as a college student. You know, graduating from the business school, you know, you can't turn on the TV and I mean, they're. Granted, there are programs where you see successful people who speak, they
sure.
do seminars, but it's not as accessible as, you know, a college player watching somebody in the NBA
it's
every
different.
Night. You know, it's different. You don't have that many outlets to look and to try to emulate your
activities.
And
it's activities. Not cool. It's not deemed as cool.
Right, exactly.
You copying him or
but,
her.
But I think it's important. I mean, it
I
is
too.
Important to look at successful people and not so much try to be like them, but take things that can add to your
build yourself
build
with
yourself
it.
Up
yeah.
exactly I mean build your foundation I mean what do you think, Tim?
I'm with it.
I think
the idea of finding the subject that you're interested in, finding the best person in the world at it is the best way, is bar none the best way to
yeah.
do it. I mean, who's the fastest guy to make a Subway sandwich? I don't know. I want to know if I do. How did he get there?
How did he
get so fast?
Yeah, no,
I mean,
you're right.
It's silly stuff like that, but there's a best person in most cases at something.
And, yeah. and I'd say that comes down to I guess, answer your question, Dre, one of the first things to create your – the second thing. The first thing is to find your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd say the second thing to create a true legacy is to find humility. Is to be humble when you and now I'm entering this passion. There is someone who is the best.
Yeah.
So if we're adults and men or women, we now go into this new arena and we can't walk in and be like, that's the CEO. I want to do like he did. No,
right.
Hold on. I got to go back all the way to the bottom and maybe I'm in the mailroom.
Yeah.
I'm watching the CEO. I'm looking at you the whole time.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I mean,
but I'm working my way up. And I think that comes with, if you've had a lot of success, now you have to start all over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that is the second ingredient in creating a powerful legacy.
Humility is definitely important. But like we talked about, I think in one of our prior podcasts, self-promoting is
that,
key
then
too.
Then that's next.
Yeah, that's next.
So
you have to go into a situation humble.
Yep.
But you have to be proud of yourself, and
yeah.
you have to have the confidence to get attention.
And you better realize they're not going to promote you from an intern to the CEO.
Yeah.
So you get that thought out of your
right.
mind.
And like you
like
said,
you better
though,
be ready to you better that, be ready to deliver
work.
Mail. Go
yep.
pick up somebody's car
and be the best mail deliverer.
Be the best guy you can.
And that comes back to what you just said, Dre. Now. You have to self-promote. I'm
yeah.
the best mail deliverer guy here. What's
Absolutely,
up?
Yeah.
Now the CEO's like, who is this guy jumping off the rope?
I want to go back to the when you were talking about advice towards a college
yeah.
athlete that we would give,
mm-hmm.
and then I want to dig into that. I know we only got a few minutes
sure.
left, but I mean, let's talk about that because I think that's a valuable thing that we see kids getting themselves in trouble in
yeah.
a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tough nowadays because, speaking athletics here, the pros go after the kids young. They're going after them younger and younger.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids don't have that time to develop a lot of knowledge on how to act as an adult.
As adults.
You know, how to handle themselves, how to come in humble,
yeah,
and then work your way up. I mean, a lot of these kids are given so much at an early age, and then they're entering these professional ranks, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, mm-hmm, and they don't really know how to act. You know, nobody's taught them how to be humble. They haven't been in college enough to, you know, really. First of all, when you come in as a freshman, you're getting beat up. You should be treated as the bottom of the totem pole.
Yes.
And unless you have an opportunity to go through the 4 years where you're on top, and now you see that younger guy coming in, and you see where you've come from. You know, you were once there. Now you're the person who's trying to school that younger guy. Once you go to the professional ranks, if you haven't had that experience, you don't really know how to adjust.
Yeah.
So now you're going in, you know, say you're coming out of in basketball, you're coming out of a fresh to the pros as a freshman, and you had a great freshman year. Yeah, you got beat up on a little bit, but you were the man still. So now you're going into the pros with that same mentality, like, I'm the man. Well, it's a different arena now. I mean, You have all-stars. You have guys making, you know, buku millions of dollars.
Been doing it for 10, 15 years.
And been doing it. Yeah. And I think a lot of these kids where you see in all fields, basketball, football, you know, these young kids come in, they can't humble them. They don't know how to humble themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't last. You know, they either have a bad relationship with the coach or with players in the locker rooms. They get labeled as a bad player. It tends to carry over off the court and off the field into the communities.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, they're seen in the community as a bad guy, you know, yep, not an example, not a leader, not a role model to kids. And a lot of that comes from just not being able to develop that understanding through the college career. And it's hard, man. I really believe the college experience for me was my greatest experience. I mean, I learned so much coming in as a new person, having to humble myself, having to work hard to graduate and being a senior and being a role model and being a leader, you know, a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, it helped me so much in my career and in my professional
and
career.
I would say to go back and learn your history of, I mean, like we started out, learn your history of the sport.
Yeah.
Learn your history of the university and see who was some of the guys that came or girls that came through this university and what they do while they were here. Mm. And then if you want to see or be the next level with them, how did they achieve that next level? And that is being humble. That is studying your craft. That's mm-hmm. figuring the steps and then sticking with it, creating it. I mean, it's what still amazes me, and this is something I didn't think about when I was playing, was that this you only have in college, you only have 3-4 years max to achieve goals, accomplishments that will stand for life. That will stand till the university crumbles. And when you're 18, 19, you're not really thinking about that. But when you're like 30 and you're like, man, I had 3 years. And if I just would have put in and we would have had the banner still would have been up there. And I can do what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
You know, and so by going at and looking at the history, you go back and you see a guy's jersey in the rafters. But now you realize what they've done to achieve that. You talk to some of their teammates and like, mm-hmm. yeah, you understand this kid, man. He was here. Da, da, da. And you start to be like, wow, he did all that? But you don't. You see him parading in and everybody signing autographs. But you didn't see behind the scenes because you probably didn't seek it.
You weren't with him shooting in the gym.
Yep. Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Shots out. Yeah, but no, 100%. 100%.
I would say, as a college student, as an athlete, be ready to take 100% responsibility for decisions you're making nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something most people aren't doing. We're finding ways to deflect the decision we made, good or bad. And I mean, I take it back to like a military view. Those guys are ready to jump on a shell for their team.
Mm-hmm.
If they made a bad decision, they're ready to sacrifice. Now, that's a big way to put it, but
that's true.
I mean, if you're making a decision, good or bad, you got to be ready to take the shell for that decision that you've made for the betterment of yourself and your team and to remain humble and to figure out where you're going.
And from there, that will be the start of your legacy.
Sky's the limit.
Guys, hey, another one.
Hey, another one down, man. That's good. Good conversation, man.
It was.
We'll be back.
Spartan Dog Podcast. Todd Duckett.
Timbo Grackus.
Andre Hudson.
See you later. Appreciate you. Go green.
Go white.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com.
I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, relocating to a new job or a new city is always a challenge. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, wherever you go, you'll have an instant circle of friends on hand to help you get settled and get connected. With more than 100 clubs and affiliates around the world, there's a Spartan in just about every city. And as an MSU Alumni Association member, you'll quickly feel right at home. Wherever you go, community, connections, careers, and class, four great reasons to visit alumni.msu.edu today to activate your membership in the largest Spartan organization in the world. That's alumni.msu.edu, the Michigan State University Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
MSU AgBio Research is changing the face of science.
People should know that AgBio Research is really the first front at MSU dealing with environmental issues and natural resources issues.
Dr. Steve Papke leads MSU AgBio Research. More than 300 scientists from six MSU colleges are leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
MSU AgBio Research really is changing the face of science. If we can do that right, we create economic opportunities here in Michigan and opportunities for our researchers to make some really interesting discoveries.
Our goal is to generate economic prosperity, sustain natural resources, and enhance the quality of life for all.
We're MSU AgBio Research.
Visit agbioresearch.msu.edu. MSU AgBio Research is changing the face of science.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the MSU Alumni Association. Join the MSUAA family, and you're instantly connected to our network of over 500,000 Spartans in every corner of the world. Whether it's community, connections, career growth, or class, that's what the MSU Alumni Association is all about. Join the world's largest Spartan Nation community at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.